Matt, you want to power it. Morning, church. How's everybody this morning? Mike mentioned in his prayer this morning about our worship leaders, and we are certainly thankful for them. And I want to echo that to Matt and his team this morning for leading us in some spirited worship. We thank you for that. Last week, we said that there is a rhythm to Ephesians. And chapters 1 through 3, does anybody remember what chapters 1 through 3 is all about? I must have preached somewhere else last Sunday. Identity, right? Chapters 1 through 3 is identity, and chapters 4 through 6 is how we live out that identity. And one of the things that we looked at, the main point that we made last week is, good, I think we're back now. One of the main points that we made is that what should come, what should take place, what should sort of flow out of our being together, both on Sunday and as Acts chapter 2 talks about from house to house, daily in the temple courts and house to house, what should flow out of that is unity. We should not become less unified, but only more unified. Also, what should come out of that is maturity. There should be no situation where a person becomes a follower of Christ and then months or years, sometimes even decades longer, they're not any more grown up than they were when they became a babe in Christ. When we grow unified, and when we grow in maturity, as Paul would have said in Ephesians chapter 4, and we looked at last week, we are attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And you know what that word, the fullness, means literally is we are filled up. We become full of the Spirit and the power and the presence of Jesus Himself. We learned last week that Jesus Himself provides the people, the leadership. He provides the equippers for us to gain in unity and maturity. But also, we read this passage, and this is kind of where I want to start with this morning. From Him, the whole body. So Jesus gave us the people. He gave us the leadership to help us become equipped. But also, Paul says, from Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It seems to me that we, it just seems to me it is terribly important for us to know who we are, for us to be reminded of our identity in Christ. And so, for that reason, we're not actually going to chapter 5. We're going to go back and look at, be reminded of our identity in Christ in chapters 1 through 3. There is a movie that, I don't know when this movie was. It was a while back, but the author of the book that the movie was based on is Nicholas Sparks. And he wrote this novel that, as I mentioned, became this movie that practically every woman knows by heart. The Notebook. I'm already getting dirty looks from guys for even bringing this up. In fact, some of you guys will probably want my man card this afternoon for even bringing up the movie, The Notebook. If you don't want to cry, just let me tell you, don't watch it, all right? But in this movie, one of the main characters, a fellow by the name of Noah, is patiently loving his wife, Allie, who doesn't have the ability to remember who she is anymore. She only has just brief moments of lucidity, and it is when she remembers who she is, and she remembers who he is, her husband Noah, that those are the powerful moments of awareness for both of them as they again, in a new way, profess their love for one another. And it also seems to me that sometimes in the church, we get a little bit of spiritual Alzheimer's. We forget who we are. We forget whose image we're made in. And we allow all the things that the world tells us, maybe even our families of origin, the families we grew up in. We allow our friends and our coworkers. We allow the world. We allow the problems and the struggles that take place in our lives to cause us to forget who we are. A healthy church knows who she is. A healthy church lives under the blessing of the right identity. In the first three chapters of Ephesians, literally, y'all, are just so full of identity that it was really a struggle to focus on just one idea. And so I began to look and search and try to pick just one and focus on it. And this morning with this message, as the various groups, our small groups, begin their journey of growing together, as you begin to get to know some people that perhaps you didn't know before now, as you do what Paul said in chapters 4 through 6, to grow and build yourselves up in love, and as you equip one another for the work of ministry, the question I asked myself was, what message does the church need to hear this morning? And I chose Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And y'all, I'm going to tell you, this is a spiritual feast in Ephesians chapter 3. If we could wake up from our sleep, if we could wake up from that place of forgetfulness, of forgetting who we are and the identity that we have in Christ, and let it really just sink to the soul level, I think it would have the ability to change us. So let's read it together. For this reason, Paul says, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. There is so much depth here that I have to confess to you, all right, that I feel kind of ridiculous trying to explain or trying to even make sense of this word from Paul. Earlier in the week, as I was trying to work through this passage, have you ever read something and you realize when you finished reading it, you didn't know any more about it than when you started, and you go back and you read it again, and before you know it, you've done the same thing. You get halfway through and you realize, man, I've either lost my focus, I'm not concentrating, or whatever is wrong with my mind. I'm really just not zeroing in. And I literally just had to stop after I read it about 10 times and just ask God to illuminate it for me. I mean, literally, God, I can't get this. And I can't understand it, I can't grasp it, and I sure can't explain it. And so I make that confession to say, if what I say this morning doesn't make any sense to you, it's my fault. It's not God's fault. It's maybe because I wasn't listening close enough. It is that deep. But there are a couple of things that I want us to try and unpack from this text, and it might be helpful to know. And I want you to know as we read through these both of these ideas that Paul begins by saying, "I pray." Okay, so these are prayers for the church. So if Paul were standing here and he were reading his letter, he would be saying to the Columbus church, I pray that this is what God does for you. I pray. So, here's the first thing that I want to unpack. It's in this passage that we already read, but it's about a verse and a half. Paul says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Maybe it's because I don't have anything to lose. I don't know. But I've never done this before, and I want to tell you, I started to get up here and lie and say some kid drew this for me. No, not really. But I just decided to try to draw it out, okay? I was struggling with it so much. I realized the body is probably not anatomically correct. One leg is a little bit bigger than the other. That's okay. If you get a chuckle out of it, then I hope it blesses you and brings some levity to your worship this morning. But I literally had, as I read through this over and over, I said, okay, I got to grab some paper and I got to try to figure out what this looks like in picture form. And the thing that I kept coming back to, and I think you'll see as we go, the idea is that God can pour power into our lives through His Spirit. And we live in a time where, you know, the political situations in our country, the economic situations in our country, if you go back to the roots, I'm sure at some point it's an issue of power. It's an issue of who holds the power. And we all want to be, even individually, we want to be strong people. We want to gain power, whether it's in education or we want to gain position in our jobs and have more purchasing power. We have a military, and because the world is a dangerous place, we want our military to have power and be strong. And I guess it would go to reason that when it comes to our spiritual lives, we have a tendency to put on this pride and think, you know what, I can do this, I can handle this, I don't have to depend on God. We may not say that, but that's what our lives bear out. We are trying to be powerful and do our spiritual thing, just like we try to do the other things in our lives, the secular things, if there is such a thing. And what Paul is saying is, he's praying that God would pour power into our lives through His Spirit. And so, I think we have to remember, this is one of those things that we tend to forget. We got to be reminded that I can't duplicate it. The power that God would give me in His through His Spirit, I can't duplicate it, I can't replicate it. And it comes not from a storehouse of my own making, but from His storehouse of riches. Oh yes, there's another one. And the power comes to us for a specific reason. Notice the text said, so Christ may dwell in us, may live in us through faith. And let me just use an illustration about how we so often try to depend on ourselves. You know, there's consequences for everything, are there not? You know, you work hard, and hopefully you succeed. You do better. You move up in your business. You earn a better living for your family. You're able to pay your bills. If you become lazy, you will suffer, and your family will suffer. You might even have to go hungry. And even in a spiritual sense, sometimes there are actions and reactions. If we apply ourselves to study, we gain knowledge. If we exercise our gifts, our spiritual gifts in the body, as Paul is talking to us about doing, many will receive a blessing. And so the tendency here is to think that I have faith. Let me read it again. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being so that, okay, here's the reason why God wants to give you Spirit power. All right? It's so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And the tendency in our own, the penchant that we have for being so self-reliant and self-dependent is to think, okay, I got some faith. Therefore, God's going to let Jesus reside in my heart because of my strong faith And once again, it becomes not about God, but about our own efforts. That isn't the case here. Remember that Paul is praying that God will strengthen us with power so that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith. But the cause of that faith, and this is something that might be a little surprise to you. Maybe you've never heard it put this way before. But the cause, even the cause of our faith, folks, we can't pat ourselves on the back for. And I'm not saying that God has taken free will out of the picture. It's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying the power from the Spirit is not of us, it's from God. And even the faith that we have so that Christ might reside in our hearts is not of our doing. It isn't my education or my upbringing or some moral quality that I possess. That word where it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that word through is used hundreds of times throughout the Greek New Testament. And it has a whole lot of different shades of meaning. Generally, it means the instrument by which something is affected. All right? In this usage, this is interesting. It's used to indicate where it is evident that God is the source. Think about that for a minute. Where God is the author or the first source. And I think what Paul is trying to say here is that the Spirit's power is from God, and Christ lives in you as a result of that Spirit's power, but that isn't all. God is even the author or the cause of the beginning seed or germination of the little bit of faith that you have. And folks, when we can take ourselves as much out of the self-reliant picture as possible and realize it ain't about me, it's about what God has done and is doing in my life, our view of God just got bigger. Because now we have to not just face our own pride in the deal, but we also have to wrestle with a God who is responsible for every good thing that you got going on spiritually. The second thing that I want to unpack next couple of verses. Here's the second prayer that Paul makes. He says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Y'all got to put up with me one more time. Folks, the only way for us to grasp the love of Christ is if God gives us the power to do so. Let me say that again. The only way for you and me to grasp the love of Christ, and that's not to say that we understand the depths of it or the width of it or the height or the length. Y'all could tell that's an ocean, right? Come on, shake your head like this. Some folks are shaking their head like that. Why do we have to have the power to do that? And the text tells us. It's because it surpasses knowledge. You know what that means? It means it's outside of knowledge. And I'll make another confession to you. If you've ever been around me, when college kids are talking about classes and school, I did very poorly in math. Can anybody identify with that? I did pretty good with basic arithmetic. All right, college algebra was like being flayed alive. But then you got like some of our guys right now in our college class, they're taking calculus. And they've already mastered geometry and trigonometry, all forms of mathematics that I believe were made to make us look stupid. Not really. The reason they got calculus and college algebra and trigonometry and geometry and some other math that I can't even pronounce, the reason they got those is because basic arithmetic wasn't useful, it wasn't able to solve the problem that they needed to solve mathematically. And so there had to be another math language written to solve it. Church, the vastness and the intensity of the love of Christ is beyond the knowledge that we possess. And we don't have a way of creating another way of understanding it like we did with math. But we can know this love only through the power's spirit, the power of the Spirit. Sometimes we have to have help, don't we? We have to have help to see what we need to see. I want to show you a short video this morning. And this is a video about a guy who has never seen colors in his life. And his family got together and they bought him some glasses that enable him to see colors for the first time.
Happy birthday, dear Daddy.
Yeah, okay.
Happy birthday to you.
How old are you now? Oh, there's something for you to open.
He's posing.
And what?
He thinks posing. He knows what it is.
If I was going to guess.
Don't guess.
You're going to guess wrong.
You're going to guess wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
Put them on.
Put them on. The sunglasses. How does it look?
Oh, that's weird.
Look at the balloons.
Can you see with our eyes now, baby?
What colors you see?
Those.
You see colors now?
Oh, the trees are
neat. Now you have rose-colored glasses, baby. Now you see with our eyes. Do you like the balloons?
Oh.
Turn around. What about the flowers on the house?
Oh my goodness. Doesn't look like mud.
It looks like brighter mud.
Oh. Who did that?
All of us?
Paula did it.
Looks so weird.
I bet it does.
I haven't seen it forever. The trees look so... they don't even look real. Seriously, they look 3D.
That one's changing colors up there.
Oh, yeah, orange.
Oh, man. Oh. Dorothy.
It is like the Wizard of Oz, isn't it? Man. It's definitely like the Wizard of Oz when you go black and white and all of a sudden you see...
Who cut those onions in here? My favorite line there is when he said, it doesn't look like mud anymore. He can actually see something he's never seen before. To the degree that we are empowered to know this love, we can be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. And a healthy church is empowered by God to see her identity. And when we see our identity, that can change everything. Our God has the power to root us and ground us in love. He has the power to bring a city or a nation together. He has the power to work through us to heal families and ethnicities and marriages. He has the power to cause the gospel to well up in us, even towards our own enemies. I believe there could be some supernatural stories of blessing that will come from our church if God allows us to be strengthened with power from His Spirit. And I wonder, would we rather depend on ourselves, or do we long for God working in our lives? This morning, I know there are people here whose situation seems hopeless. Maybe it seems as if your marriage is done, or the relationship with a child is done, or your career is a disaster, or you've made 1,000 too many mistakes, or your addiction or sin struggle is so overwhelming you just want to give up. And maybe Satan has whispered in your ear for a long time that you just don't deserve a better life. Or maybe he shouted at you that same message through other people, that you're worthless and maybe you believed it. We need to be reminded that God has a different outlook on us. Amen? And if we could live this identity, if we could live out who we really are, it would be no wonder that the words of Jesus were true. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we pray this morning that out of your glorious riches, you would strengthen us with power through your Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may truly dwell in our hearts through faith. And Father, we also pray, as Paul did, that as we are rooted and established in love, that we could have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that we might be filled to the measure of your fullness. Thank you for being with us this morning. And thank you for the power of the Spirit in our lives. And forgive us, Father, for trying to go it alone. Father, help us to surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, if you have a need, a spiritual need, whether it's for prayer, to repent of sin, to confess something, or just ask for help, please come as we sing.